All right. So we're going to do things a little bit different here. Because I've now been to jail and now I'm back. Anyway. Oh, Lord. Oh, my Lord. Oh, Lord, I need you so. Yes, I do. Lord, I need you. So today we want to look at the truth, and the truth is the best thing that we can do is believe God. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we we're healed. Yes, we are. That's what the word says. This week I went down to the penitentiary, and on the way to the penitentiary I was worshiping. Worshiping in the spirit, worshiping with understanding, singing to the Lord, just enjoying myself. And the Lord just spoke to my heart and he said, I want you to do this with the man at the pen. And, well, if that's what God wants, that's what I'm going to do. Of course, I had these thoughts about, well, you know, I don't know if the people that invite me will like it. I don't even know if the men will like it, but that's okay, Lord, as long as you like it. And so that's what we did. And God just so blessed. He just, like, it wasn't a big surprise at all because he just so blesses. But it was what he wanted, and Impact for Life was the name of the program, and I believe that their lives were impacted. Mine was. The Bible says, be not drunk with the wine, but be filled with the Spirit. We were filled. And what God does during those times, we really don't know for sure, but we sort of see the residual. Like we got some rain last night. If we get enough rain, we'll see the residual. We'll see stock dams start filling up a little bit. There'll be trickles in the creeks, and that's just the overflow. And so the Lord is good, and his overflow is amazing. And so, like, there's been overflow since Wednesday. It's like sometimes, if you've ever noticed that sometimes when you just have a real time of obedience with the Lord, there's an overflow. Things just continue on. And so after I got home from there, then I just have been seeking the Lord. There's a wonderful thing that happens when you seek the Lord. Your heart seeks the Lord more. And as I was seeking the Lord, I was reading something, and I just had this thought about, you know, Easter is next week, and it's not a one-week thing or a one-day thing when you love Jesus, but when you're considering it, and so I was thinking about Isaiah 53, and it says he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The Living Bible says he was wounded and bruised for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was lashed and we were healed. That's what it says. And so the question that came to my mind was he. Not because I was questioning it, but it was as though the Spirit was pointing something out. And was he? Was he wounded? Was he bruised? Was he whipped? Was he? And the answer is yes. Yes. Yes, he was. So if he was lashed and we are healed, then were we? Well, if he was, we were. If you read the verses before in Isaiah 53 in the Living Bible, it says, "Oh, how few believe it. Who will listen? To whom will God reveal his saving power?" In God's eyes, he was like a tender green shoot sprouting from a root in dry, sterile ground. In God's eyes, Jesus was like a precious root. Jesus was, and that's what we are to God. We're like a bud coming up. That's how he looks at us. That's how he wants us. But when it came to Jesus, he was that to God. But in our eyes, Isaiah says, there was no attractiveness at all. Nothing to make us want him. And I can say until I met Jesus, I didn't want him. I wasn't necessarily against him. But I had no use for him. Isaiah goes on to say, we despised him. We rejected him. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with the bitterest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way when he went by. He was despised, and we didn't care. I'll raise my hand and say I was guilty. I didn't care if other people despised him. I could maybe take comfort in the fact that I didn't despise him, but yet my actions probably seemed like I despised him. Yet it was our grief that he bore, our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were punishment from God for his own sins. But he was wounded and bruised for our sins. Wounded and bruised for our sins. He was wounded and bruised for my sins, and that's how I get forgiven. So if he was wounded and bruised for my sins, and I believe I'm forgiven, then I can say I am saved. And we like that saved thing when we know about it. It seems like a gruff thing to those that aren't, but we like that. I'm saved because he was wounded. So was he wounded? Yes. That's how I got saved. And beaten so we could have peace, so that I could have guilt and shame gone. So, do I like my guilt and shame gone? Yes. Do I like peace? Yes. And so, if he was beaten so I could have peace, then I have peace. You know, I tell people I was saved and I didn't know it. I mean, I didn't understand all the lingo, but he had already saved me. He had already changed my life. I just didn't know until I knew. And once I knew, then I knew. Oh, yes, I was. Somebody asked me, are you born again? I said, I don't know. I went and checked, asked somebody else. They said, yeah, you're born again. I said, whoa, I'm born again. So I am what Jesus told Nicodemus. I am born again. How am I born again? Because he was wounded for my transgressions. And I believe that. And you can't take that away from me. You can't push me back on the other side of it. You can't push me back to lost. It just isn't going to happen because he was, so I am. Jesus said, I am that I am. He was who he was because God said that he was. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And so this is what we have. Today I had a young man walk into jail. He said, I got a couple of big questions for you. He said, I think I need to be born again. I said, I can help you with that. And so we talked about that. We talked about the presence of God. And then I said, let me pray with you. And we prayed, and then he prayed. And he said, "Ooh, I felt that. I felt the heebie-jeebies." That was a great description of it. He felt the presence of God. That's what we go for. That's what we go for all the time, especially at the jail, because they don't know about that. And so we always sing, "Lord, I need you so." And the presence of God. Oh, the presence of God. You see, once you have known the presence of God, you desire the presence of God. He's real, and when he's real, because you have felt that he's real, then you can see he was bruised, and he was wounded, and he was beaten, and he was, and because he was, we are. So we like being saved, we like having peace, and then it says, "And he was lashed, so we are healed." That's what the word says. We are healed. I'm refusing now. I refuse to operate from the position of, well, why this and why that and why this. I have decided that I'm going to operate from the side of the being healed and the healing catching up. I'm not going to look and focus on the symptoms that are still being felt. I'm not going to focus on the things that I see. One of the guys in jail this afternoon is missing a leg. I said, "Do you know something? Do you know that in African countries and other places that they have legs have grown back? We're going to believe for your leg to grow back." You know what? He didn't argue with that one bit. Now, he still didn't have that leg when he left, but boy, oh boy, would it be a shouting time if that leg grew back. But the point is that Jesus provided for it. You see, if we can believe for salvation, that's great, and we can encourage people with salvation, but maybe we don't encourage other people to be saved because maybe we don't believe in it that strongly. I don't know. Maybe we don't have the faith or the courage to say to somebody, "Hey, God will give you peace. Just trust him. Just trust God. Let me trust God with you. Let me pray for you." Maybe we aren't so sure that God will answer that prayer. I don't know. And maybe we all have had disappointments when it comes to prayers for the sick. So much so that we've lost our assurance that we, unlike the fact that we believe that we're forgiven because Jesus was beaten, and we believe that we have peace because he was bruised and lashed. Yes, he was. He was whipped. There's no doubt about it. Was he whipped, beaten? They said, man, that tore him apart, something awful. So was he? Well, if he was, then we were. It says, this happened and we are healed. We are. And just because we don't see it, that's no reason to stop asking. That's no reason to stop believing. I've prayed for people and they've been well. I've prayed for people and they were delivered. And I've prayed for people and they've died. It's not on me. It's on me to pray. Today, one of the officers wanted to know if I would spend a little bit of time. That they have a little gal, just a little gal, and she's like a broken sparrow. She's just really, they were really concerned about her, and they didn't want to give her too much because it might wear her out. But she came in, and Jesus met her. And she cried and she sang along, and I prayed that there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, and she cried, and I thanked her for coming in. I said, "You just made my day," and she said, "You made my day," and that's all because he was wounded and bruised and because he was beaten and he was lashed. These things happen because of him. And he was. And that's the only thing we have to settle. Was he? wounded for me? Was he wounded so I could be saved? Was he wounded so I could have peace? Was he wounded so I could be healed? And we know that healing isn't just physical. That little gal was busted in spirit. That young man that needed to be born again, he was sick in spirit. I mean, and God takes care of that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is. And we believe that we simply come to him. We ask, whoever will call upon a name will be saved. We believe that. So if we believe that, then why not take the simple approach and believe the rest? Sometimes, you know, we spend more time asking Jesus to explain things. Why this and why that? But then sometimes, even after he explains it, we aren't sure it was right. I rejoiced when I thought about the woman bent over for 18 years. Can you imagine being bent over for 18 years? Seeing people's feet and twisting your head and having a stiff neck from trying to see anyplace else. And Jesus simply walked up to her and said, "Woman, you're healed." That was it. You're healed. And, you know, you try to decide, okay, when he first said that, did she just, boop, straighten up, go, "Oh, this is great, I've been waiting for this," or was she still bent over? I don't know. I wasn't there. But ultimately, Jesus said, "Your faith's made you whole." She stood up straight, and there were people amazed, and there were people that wanted to kill him for it. Jesus always gave us a choice. Choose this day. Don't harden your heart. Will you serve? Who will you serve? That's what Jesus said. Who will you serve? When the Lord said, "I want you to do this," then I had an opportunity, and I could have said, "Well, boy, Lord, that's a great idea, but I probably better not do that because they're expecting something else." Or I could just say, "Hey, if they never have me back, they'll have you, but you have that all figured out." So if we believe that God forgives, saves, and gives us peace, and that he loves us, and if we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, those are obvious things. Well, these are questions that I ask myself. I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to know. And so I put it to myself. Okay, was he or wasn't he? Yes, he was. Was he or wasn't he? Yes, he was. Was he or wasn't he? Yes, he was. So how does what he was affect you? Well, he said this is how it affects me, so I need to go with that. The whole idea is to bring things back to what's becoming my favorite idea that I will always go back to, and that is when Paul said, "Don't miss the simplicity that is Christ." Let's take the complicated things and let them be simply as God said. Let's take these complicated things and uncomplicate them. It's not for me to figure out how the healing takes place or when the healing takes place. It's up to me to believe and to pray. Believe and to pray. And then to pray and believe and believe and believe and believe and believe. And believe. My salvation is not rooted in a miracle. But miracles come from our salvation. And we need to be prepared to pray and to see and believe for miracles. People need to know that it's possible. And if you know that it's possible, and I know that it's possible, and we encourage people that it's possible, then they'll believe. That's why sometimes people with just simple beginner's faith. When my foot was healed back when I first got saved, and I didn't even know that healing was part of the whole thing. That was amazing. Even though when he prayed for my foot, it felt like he hit it with a hammer, it was healed. The bones were put back in a right spot, something. I have no idea, but I was healed. That's all I know is I was healed. I'm still healed. And if the symptoms ever try to come back, I stomp my foot and tell the devil, it's healed. He can't do anything like that. It is healed. You can't change that. And if that can be healed, why can't everything else be healed? Jesus said, go into all the world preaching the gospel. Cast out demons. Lay your hands on the sick and they will be healed. Why not? If we believe that we are forgiven. And we are forgiven because he was wounded. And we have peace because he was bruised. And he was lashed and we are healed. Then why don't we just go with that? This is what the word says. Look when the disciples, when he told them, he said, go into town, you'll find a donkey, tell him the master has need of it. Go to the next guy, tell him that he have a place you need to prepare to do the Passover. He walked in and it came just with everything he said. Just like Jesus said. Went to get the donkey. They said, the master has need of him. Okay. Went to the man, said, the master has need of a place. It's prepared up above, up in the upper room. I mean, honestly, if you walk in simple faith, you'll be like the disciples sometimes. You'll just shake your head in amazement. It goes just as he said. I love those times when, like I said, went to the prison and it was just as Jesus said. He promises to minister to the prisoners, and it's always just like Jesus said. If you'll go, he'll deliver. So, folks, he was. There's no question about it. He was wounded. And he was bruised. And he was lashed. And he was pierced. And he died. And he was raised from the dead. He was. And so we are. We are partakers of the most wonderful gifts. And we need to grab a hold of those gifts, and we must be prepared to pass out those gifts. And we need to recognize that this world needs us. Remember, he blesses us so we can bless. He strengthens us so we'll be strong. He calls us so we will call. He helps us so we can help. He's so wonderful. He's so wonderful. Give him praise and give him thanks. Let his love wash over you. Wash over me. Wash over me. Wash over me, Holy Spirit. Wash over me, wash over me. Oh, wash over me. Holy Spirit, wash over me, Jesus. What a wonder you are. You are so gentle, so good and so kind, you shine like a morning star. Oh, Jesus, what a wonder you are. Oh, Jesus, wonderful Jesus, what a wonder you are.